And from the KTOO newsroom in Juneau, I'm Jennifer Pemberton. In the Alaska community with one of the highest electric vehicle ownership rates in the country, there are a grand total of 4 publicly available fast charging stations. Because of Juneau's limited road system, there may not be much demand for them compared to slower, more common alternatives. But that's not stopping Alaska Electric Light and Power Company and other utilities around the state from working on updating how they bill customers that run fast charging stations and other changes that will make it easier to operate any type of EV charging station. KTOO's Jeremy Shea reports.
I'm at a Fred Meyer gas station, hanging out by a bank of electric vehicle chargers. I was trying to catch someone plugging into either of the 2 fast charging stations here, which the retailer lets the public use for free, but they're both out of order.
Right now, Fred Meyer is AEL&P's only customer that would be billed differently if new rates take effect.
Unlike the other 2 fast chargers in town, Fred Meyer's are on a dedicated meter of their own, so AEL&P knows exactly how often they're used. When they're working properly, utility says it averages out to about 1 hour and 5 minutes a day. Which means, even if they were working, I'd have to be pretty patient or pretty lucky to catch someone plugging in here. And they're not working, so I'm gonna bag it. Yeah.
Instead, I talked to this guy.
I'm Shai Yuhan. I'm a resident in Portland, Oregon, and I went up to Juneau to visit a friend for a wedding and check out some whales.
He got familiar with all 4 fast chargers in town this past summer because he rented a Tesla Model S and didn't have a place to charge it where he was staying.
Because we rented the Model S, we had to return it with like a reasonable amount of fill, and it was difficult.
His rental car host ended up giving him a break on the recharge, but it's not unusual for EV owners, including me, to be in Han's situation. EV owners who can't charge at home are sometimes called garage orphans. AEL&P and other utilities are proposing 2 significant changes for EV charging. First, they clarify that EV station operators are okay to resell electricity. Alaska's rules about this were unclear until state regulators made an exception in October. There were workarounds, for example, pricing according to time connected. In Juneau, the city runs a few charging stations in paid public parking garages. But otherwise, all of the public chargers in Juneau are free to their users. Of course, their operators do get billed. Fred Meyer did not respond to requests for comment about whether it plans to start charging to charge up. But Han, who also drives a Tesla in Portland, says when businesses offer free charging, it's an attraction. Now, he frequents a spot about 1 hour's drive outside the city where he can charge for free.
You know, we discovered this winery because it was on the Tesla supercharging network. And so it's a little bit like a business development thing for the winery. For effectively like $2 worth of electricity, I spend 2 hours there. I get great charge and, you know, spend anywhere from $100 to $300 worth of, you know, wine and food and things like that.
The other change utilities want to make is to simplify the billing for customers with fast charging stations. This would only apply to fast chargers that are on their own dedicated meters.
They deliver power at a very high rate, but only for a very short period.
That's Alec Mezdag, Vice President and Director of Energy Services and Metering with AEL&P. Fast charging is great for EV drivers, but hard for an electric utility to build and operate a grid around. See, utilities have to build the infrastructure to accommodate the highest loads at any given moment, even though the system will run far below capacity most of the time. From a utility's perspective, it's much more efficient for EV drivers to recharge slowly over several hours than in irregular 20-minute spurts that some fast chargers make possible. Across Alaska, big commercial customers and smaller customers with especially spiky electricity demands get charged differently than typical residential customers. They pay for the total amount of electricity they use each month, plus an extra fee called a demand charge. It's based on the single biggest spike of electricity use each month. Now, remember how AEL&P tracks how often Fred Meyer's fast chargers are in use? That's key to understanding a pricing problem utilities and regulators want to sort out. EV fast chargers are not steadily used. In fact, they're idle most of the time. When too few people plug in, that can lead to some bonkers bills under the current rate structure. For example, Chugach Electric Association mapped out some hypothetical scenarios with different kinds of fast chargers. In its examples, it could cost about $45 to fully charge a Chevy Bolt, or it could cost $660. It's not as extreme, but versions of that play out with AEL&P's rate schedule too. Utilities and policymakers do want to make it easier for more people to switch to electric cars.
Because overall, we recognize that electric vehicles are a good thing. They have benefits that they provide to the system overall, but we still have this issue of not wanting to inequitably recover costs from different users.
It's a balancing act. As things are, it's really unappealing to set up fast chargers. If utilities lower rates for EV stations and overcorrect, then everyone could be paying for the people who use the charging stations. State regulators decided that utilities should have new fixed rates for EV fast charging stations and drop the fee that makes high idle time so problematic. It's up to each utility to propose their own rates, and it's up to the Regulatory Commission of Alaska to decide if they're fair. State lawyers can also weigh in on behalf of ratepayers. AEL&P's proposed rates vary seasonally. They also vary by the type of customer. On the low end, it would cost about $8 to charge up a Chevy Bolt in the summer. On the high end, say for Fred Meyer or a for-profit charging network that tries to set up shop, it'd be about $15 in the winter. AEL&P and other utilities' new rates could take effect in March if the commission approves them. In Juneau, I'm Jeremy Shea.
Nearly 3 weeks after a volcanic eruption cut off communications to Tonga, a statewide coordinated effort to collect food and raise funds for the Pacific Island Nation has landed in Juneau. KTOO's Rasha McChesney has this story.
This weekend, two locations of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints will be open for 8 hours on Saturday and Sunday to accept donations for Tonga. Melehoko Pau Ma'ake is helping to coordinate the whole thing. She says it all came together very quickly after she got a call from Edric Carrillo earlier this week. Carrillo works in Juneau Senator Jesse Keel's office. She says the office was hoping to make contacts in the Tongan community in Juneau, and
you know, they wanted to find out if I can help, you know, find a facility that would be able to house all the donations here in Juneau.
Ma'ake and another family member made some calls, and within a few hours, both bishops of their local LDS churches called back to volunteer church space.
That was just so awesome, knowing that, you know, we can have a place like that at the spur of the moment, very last minute.
Right now, suggested donations are non-perishable foods like flour, sugar, and canned goods. There's also an option to donate at a website set up through the church. And they're also looking for donations of personal protective equipment to help prevent the spread of COVID-19.
Mask, hand sanitizer, any cleaning supplies, would be what is most needed. The latest thing that's going on right now, it's, you know, COVID, has come to Tonga. You know, for them, it's a very, very big deal because, you know, they're a third world country. You know, they're very poor. And so they know that, they cannot afford to handle a situation if COVID, you know, starts, you know, affecting and if it goes out of hand rapidly.
There have been worries of an influx of foreign aid and workers bringing the pandemic to Tonga. Right now, the whole country is on lockdown because health officials recorded the first two cases of community transmission of the virus. Ma'ake says it's still tricky to communicate with her relatives and friends in Tonga because phone and internet connections are inconsistent. And she knows a lot of people in Juneau are still struggling to figure out exactly what's going on and what people in Tonga need. This food drive and fundraiser have been a way for them to direct their efforts.
They're very excited and here with the Tongan people because we're all so close. So they kind of like, okay, Mele, whatever, you know, you have in mind, let us know and we'll all jump in on it and help out.
Ma'ake and several members of her family will be taking donations at the church locations over the weekend, and then they'll be packing everything up and sending it to Anchorage by Tuesday, February 8th. From there, Juneau's donations will be combined with donations from all over the state. The Polynesian Association of Alaska in Anchorage has partnered with the city of Anchorage and the state to collect aid for Tonga, and Ma'ake says that a larger shipment of goods will be going out to Tonga next Wednesday. In Juneau, I'm Rasha McChesney.
And with a quick look at your weekend weather, Juneau got 6 inches of snow yesterday. There's been more accumulation today, but it has transitioned to rain. This weekend will be rainy. Tonight, showers low around 36. Rain again tomorrow with a high near 44. That rain could be heavy at times, and Sunday looks to be about the same. The avalanche danger in urban areas around Juneau remains high, and things could get more unstable over the weekend. The city's emergency manager is warning residents to stay off the Flume Trail, Perseverance Trail, and to not go into the gated areas behind the Barron's neighborhood. There's more. These stories and more you can find on our website, ktoo.org. This is KTOO News.